So I want to talk about what repentance really is and what the Bible tells us repentance is. Now, for those of you who are probably under about the age of 35, you may not remember these days, but I remember when I was a sales rep and I got given a new territory, I had to work out where my GP surgeries were. And to do that, I'd get my big AA road atlas out and I would fathom through. I see which roads I had to travel to get to a certain place and try and work out where I was. Now, we don't have to do that nowadays because of sat-nav, and it takes all that pressure away from us. But I remember there was many a time, because I worked out in the Cambridgeshire, the Lincolnshire and the Norfolk area. It was just countryside, which all looked the same. And often I'd be driving down the road and thinking, I'm sure I'm going in the wrong direction. I really don't feel that the place I'm trying to get to is on the road that I'm going. And so I'd stop, I'd look at the map, and sure enough, I'd find that I was going in the wrong direction, or I was going to a different town than I actually wanted to get to. And then I'd make a conscious decision of needing to turn my car around and to go in the direction of where it is that I actually wanted to go. And it's really the same idea or concept with spiritual repentance. Because repentance is having a belief in God. It's coming to a realization that we're not living a life that God wants us to live. It's not necessarily acceptable in his eyes. And it comes to us as a realization that we've got to change our ways. We need to turn our life around. And repentance is an essential part of the New Testament gospel message. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us it's impossible to be a follower of him or a follower or believer in God without true repentance. We come here, first of all, to Luke chapter 13. That's the second book in the third book in the New Testament. We're going Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Now, Jesus had been told by some of the Galileans who were there in front of him that of some terrible events that had happened, of how some of these Galileans had been murdered, basically. They'd been killed by the Roman soldiers whilst they were giving sacrifices. And they also talk about a tower falling on some people and killing them. And they're saying, well, they must have been pretty bad people because these things had happened. But in verse 3, Jesus says to them, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What Jesus is basically saying, these people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was one of those things that happened. They're dead. They've perished. That's the end of it. And he's saying, unless you repent, that will be the same outcome for you. You will die. And perish actually means, literally perish means, cease to exist. And so Jesus says, unless you repent, you will perish. You will cease to exist. And then in Luke 5, Jesus has this to say about repentance. Luke 5 and verse 32. Jesus has been criticized for the people that he mixed with, those that he kept company with, those that he went and sat down and had a meal with. And the religious leaders were basically saying, these are great, terrible sinners. Why would you mix with them? And Jesus says in Luke 5 and verse 32, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So what Jesus is saying, those who believe they're righteous, they don't need my help. I've come to those who are sinners and those who know that they are sinners, and to preach unto them repentance and the need for repentance. And it's also the same message in the apostles. We just come over to Acts chapter 2, please. And here we have Peter giving a speech to the Jews. And he's talking about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who they've crucified, who the religious leaders have crucified. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he says unto the people, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And over into chapter 3 and verse 19, Peter says almost the same again. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So here in the, after the Lord Jesus Christ has been crucified, after he's been raised from the dead and he's ascended to his Father in heaven, the apostles pick up the teaching, and they're picking up the same teaching of Jesus, that their people need to repent. They need to repent of their sins and be baptized. And also the apostle Paul, who had once been a great adversary to the Christians. He was a strict Jew who had been persecuting them, but on the road to Damascus, he became converted to the Lord Jesus Christ by the Lord Jesus speaking to him. Paul has exactly the same message. In Acts 17 and verse 30, he's preaching in Athens, and he's preaching to the people about the gods that they have and all the shrines they have to the gods. And he noticed there's a shrine to the unknown God. And that was because they were desperate not to offend any god they might have missed out. And so Paul says to them, "I'm going to tell you about that God, the God that you've missed out. And he's the true God. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth." And he says to them in verse 30, you know, they've been ignorant. But he says, "At the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And so what he says, when you didn't know any different, then God overlooked that. But once you know about God, once you know what God expects of you, then there is something you have to do, and that is to repent. And repentance literally means to turn around, just like I said earlier, when you're on a journey and you're going in the wrong direction. It also means to have another mind, to have a different mind. And so this shows us that repentance takes place in our mind, in our thoughts. And it then affects our emotions and our desires. If we're considering the word of God, it should affect us to make us realize that we need to turn our life around. So how do we come to this state of repentance? How do we have this another mind? Well, it's by allowing the word of God to have access to our mind and thinking upon it, contemplating God's message to each one of us. If we think about the word of God and we see all the many wonderful things that are in the scriptures, things like prophecies that have been fulfilled, about the life of Jesus and what he was here to do to give salvation to you and me who are sinners, then this will give us faith in God. It will give us faith in his message. And it's very important that we have this faith. And how does the faith come? Well, it's through hearing the word of God. We won't turn to it, but in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we are told, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And this hearing here means about hearing the message of God. And to hear the message of God, we don't necessarily have people telling us the message of God. But we do have God's message provided for us in the scriptures, in the Bible, which is God's word to each one of us. And we have to hear what he's saying. And to hear it, we have to read it. And hearing, in Romans 10, verse 17, when it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word hearing isn't just hearing something as we do, but it actually means to intensely listen. It's to listen to that message as if it's a personal message to each one of us. And in hearing and reading the word of God and having an open mind, we know that the word of God will affect the mind and it will affect our thoughts. We come and be pleased to Matthew chapter 13, because here we have Jesus who is again talking to the people, and he's talking to them in a parable. And it's the parable of a sower, a parable you may know well, a parable I remember being taught at school when I was a lot younger. And it's about how a sower goes out to sow, and he sows seed across his fields. And as it sprinkles, the seed falls in different types of ground. Some of the seed is in the wrong sort of ground, and it doesn't grow properly. Other parts, there's thorns and thistles, which actually sort of strangle the seed as it grows into wheat. And Jesus says in verse 22, he says, those that receive seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understandeth it, which then also beareth fruit. And so what Jesus is saying is the word of God grows in a receptive mind. It will bear fruit. But if the person refuses to hear or doesn't allow God's word to enter their thoughts and life, then this act of repentance will not occur. The person will be too preoccupied with their life and their own desires to actually realize that they need to change their life around and to serve God. And the thing that the Bible tells us quite clearly is that no one is forced to accept God. No one is forced to serve God. Instead, God invites people to respond to him freely. They're not compelled, they're not forced. It is a free will decision. And after hearing God's word, after listening to its message and thinking upon it, this new God-like spiritual mind is formed by faith. As we said in Romans 10, it is, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what starts as a willingness to hear and to be instructed then develops into understanding God's word and what his plan and purpose is. And it builds the belief in what God tells us. It convinces us that we need to repent, that we need to turn our life around, and that in seeking God's forgiveness, we can have a future hope of salvation. So basically, repentance is a change of mind for the better, a change which will affect us and our lives positively. Salvation is not possible without repentance, and repentance is not possible without listening to and understanding the word of God. So why do we need to repent? Why do we need to change our life around? Well, the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that mankind is naturally sinful, and God is righteous. The Bible tells us that man has to acknowledge his sinful state by believing wholeheartedly in the gospel of the kingdom of God, and by believing in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures clearly tell us about the true nature of man and our need to repent. First of all, we come with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet, but he also had some, as well as prophecies, he had some very profound words about human nature. And in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, he says this about you and me, about mankind. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. we are told the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that word wicked literally means sick in the Hebrew, which the Old Testament was written in. And the heart is sick. And if something's sick, it needs to be healed. And so this may be a view that we wouldn't necessarily readily admit, that we're wicked, that we're desperately wicked, that we're sick. But this is God's view of our nature. And Jesus also describes where evil really comes from. Will you come with me to Mark chapter 7, please? Mark 7, verse 20. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders who are saying that some of the things that the disciples have been doing makes them unclean. But Jesus says in verse 20, that which comes out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the man. So that's Jesus' description of where evil comes from. And it's quite a list, isn't it, of evil, really, of terrible things that man does. And we see those things each and every day happening in the world around us. Now, God, through the prophet Isaiah, urges mankind to reconsider his life and his ways and to repent. We just come to Isaiah 55. And it's verse 6 I want us to have a look at, please. Isaiah 55, verse 6. And here Isaiah gives words of wisdom, words about turning your life around. It says in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What Isaiah is saying here is we should turn to the Lord God whilst we have the time to do it. We should forsake the natural nature that we have and return to the Lord. That means turn our life to the Lord. And if we do that, he will have mercy upon us and he will abundantly pardon. He will forgive us. So it's quite clear from the scriptures that we've looked at, with what Jesus said, what the apostles said, what the prophets have said in the Old Testament, that we as human beings, as men and women, need to change our ways and to serve God if we want any hope of salvation and not to perish. So if we get to that state of mind of repentance and we decide, yes, I do need to turn my life around, well, what comes next? Well, the Bible tells us that once we have repentance, once we know what it is that we should be doing, and we want to make that change, that we then need to be baptized. And then after baptism comes a phase of basically what we would call ongoing conversion. I'll show you what I mean. Come with me, please, to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. This is back with where we were a little while ago, with Peter giving a speech or a sermon to the Jews around him. Yeah. Acts 2, verse 38. Going to verse 37, actually. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. So the people who were listening were pricked in their hearts that something resonated with them. They knew they needed to do something. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Peter tells them, repent, which is what we've been talking about, and then be baptized for the remission of sins or for the forgiveness of sins. And baptism is a symbolic act. It's where a person is immersed in water, showing that they are washing away their old sins, that they're dying to the old life that they lived, and they're being reborn to a new life, following the Lord Jesus Christ and the message and teachings that he had, which are indeed the teachings of God. Conversion is closely linked with repentance. Conversion means being restored. So conversion in a spiritual sense is being restored back to God. It is a new thrust of life in a Godward direction. It's having a desire to live a faithful life and to allow God's ways and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ to mold our lives. That the Lord Jesus' life is the example and pattern that we will follow. And Jesus says of anyone who wants to follow him is that they need to take up the yoke of discipleship. Won't be pleased to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, take up the yoke of discipleship, because the short-lived benefits of a godless life, even though they may be appealing, are useless when tragedies and trials of life beset us. And we know, don't we, that we can become heavy laden. We can become burdened with the things of this life. And also, what point is there to our life if we know that once we die, we perish, we cease to exist? Jesus is telling us that we have no need to labor and toil in vain. He says being a disciple of his, or taking up his yoke, will make an unbelievable difference to everything that we do, especially when burdens and the tragedies of everyday life come upon us. And why is that? It's because we have a living hope, and we know there are greater promises which have been made to us. And if you read the scriptures, if you read the Bible, you'll see that there's a thread that goes through the whole Bible that shows that we are heirs to the promises that God made to faithful people of old. And that promise is that we can have eternal life in his kingdom when it's set up here on earth. So Jesus says, you know, take my yoke, it is easy, and my burden is light. And the thing I would add to that is basically life now has a purpose for people who do follow the Lord Jesus. Can we please do Psalm 32? Because here we have a psalm of the King David. Now, David was a righteous king who served God's people, which was Israel, in the Old Testament times. And he was a very righteous man. However, he made mistakes. And this psalm here, Psalm 32, is after the sin he'd had when he committed adultery. And in Psalm 32, we read these words. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And verse 5. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sins. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Did you notice David is there is saying how blessed he is because he knows his sins are forgiven. But he also says that we should pray unto God and seek God when thou mayest be found. So it's a time when God can be found. And when can God be found? What is that time? It's why we are alive. So life is our opportunity to repent. And then our life is that opportunity to turn to God. Because none of us know what our futures hold. And therefore, as we do not know what our futures hold, we do not know whether we're going to be here tomorrow. So the time to find God is today. There is a real urgency to find God. And once we turn to God, once we are baptized, we have this ongoing conversion where we strengthen our desire to serve God. And when we make mistakes, we learn from them and turn again back to God and follow his ways. We can have a wonderful, wonderful hope. And the decision to repent is basically yours and mine. It is a free will decision that we will make. And God wants us to repent. He wants us to redirect our lives and to believe in him and follow his ways. And more importantly, faith in God and his promises will give us contentment and purpose in this life. The Bible tells us that God is interested in each one of us. And if we see the importance and the need to change our life and to turn to God, then there will be great joy in heaven. Just go with me to one final verse, Luke chapter 15 and verse 10. God is interested in each one of us. And if we decide to turn our life around and to repent and turn to God, we're told this. The Lord Jesus says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, over an individual who repents, over you and me, if we repent. And the decision to repent and to turn to God is yours. It's mine. But we have to make that decision whilst there is time to find God. The gospel message requires some form of urgency. The gospel message tells us that our life is but a vapor. We're here one minute, we're gone the next. So whilst we have life, whilst we have breath, we have to turn to God. And that's why I urge you to repent. It's time today to turn to God.
On your behalf, first of all, thank Andrew for the ability to be able to switch straight away from looking at what didn't appear on the screen to concentrating on his notes, and for the clear messages sent to each one of us from the Word of God that it's an absolute necessity that we repent, but we need to know what we repent from and what we repent to. And the only place we can find out about that, as Andrew was so eloquently revealed to us this morning, is from the Bible, the Word of God. So thank you, Andrew. Next Sunday, the Bible talk in the morning will be given by myself, and it will be on the subject of investigating Satan. The president for next Sunday is Martin Bullivant. If we can be back in our seats, please, by 10 past 11 for the breaking of bread. I'll ask you please to stand if you can, and I'll offer a final prayer.